I think the best thing that we can do is pray. And so I want to invite you, if you would, to bow with me as we commit our time to the Lord. And as I often do, if I could encourage you just to spend a few moments and you pray for you. You know you better than I know you. And so just pray that God's Spirit would work in your heart and in your life this morning. And if you'd be so kind, if you could pray for me, that God would use my words this morning to point you to Jesus, that your hearts might be changed, that you'd be formed and shaped into the image of Jesus. God, thank you as your people that you've allowed us to experience joy in part here and now. Thank you that you invite us to laugh and to come together as a church family and be able to celebrate the good work that you've done. Thank you that Jesus is good news of great joy. Thank you that we can experience joy only in and through Christ. God, I pray this morning that you would humble our hearts, give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to receive your word. God, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us first. We pray these things in Jesus' name and by your Spirit. Amen. Our text this morning is found in the Gospel of Luke. And so if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Luke chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 26, Luke chapter 1. Beginning in verse 26, if you follow along through the YouVersion app, you can always go to events, click on Christ Point Church, and you can follow along with the passage and with the outline for the message there as well. So Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Scripture reads, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Sometimes the greatest call in life comes when you are not asking for it. A new mom gives birth to a beautiful boy or girl, and then they are told there will be complications. An accident or a medical complication leaves someone with challenges that at times seem unbearable or insurmountable. A deep loss hits too close to home and lives are changed forever. A relationship that you thought would last forever comes to an unexpected end. The economy takes an unexpected or unforeseen turn, and your family is not immune from the impact. You didn't search for the call or expect the call. It's almost as if the call found you. One day, a young girl from what has been described as a nowhere place had an unexpected meeting that would change the course of human history. Her meeting was certainly not tragic by any means, but it was unplanned. That meeting would leave her and the life she knew forever changed. Sometimes the greatest call on your life comes without you asking for it. Mary is living proof of this truth. This morning, I want us to consider the beautiful way that she responded to the unexpected news, and I want us to think together about how we might respond to God's own call, however unique, in our own life. This morning, I want to call us to reflect on the plan of God. Remember that you were chosen by God. Rest in the presence and power of God. Respond in humility to God. And respond in praise to God. First, I want us to reflect on the plan of God. Now, if you're not familiar with this story, Mary and Joseph lived in a small bedroom community in Nazareth. Most scholars suggest it was around 40 or 50 acres in total area and comprised of just a few hundred people. And yet, God, in his sovereignty, saw fit to pass over places like Judea and instead chose Galilee. The city of Jerusalem was ignored, and instead, the village of Nazareth was chosen. You may remember, as I mentioned just a moment ago, that Nazareth was considered a non-place. It is not even mentioned in the Old Testament. It's not mentioned by the historian Josephus or in rabbinical writings. It wasn't until 1962, that a pre-Christian mention of Nazareth was found at Caesarea Maritime. One author describes Nazareth as a shoddy, corrupt stop between the port cities of Tyre and Sidon, overrun by Gentiles and Roman soldiers. Nazareth was not much. But on the surface, neither was Mary. At the time, Mary was betrothed to Joseph and likely lived with her parents in their home until the time that she married. Most scholars suggest that she is somewhere between the ages of 12 and 14 years of age. For context, if you put that in today's terms, Mary was roughly around 7th, 8th, or maybe a 9th grader. Mary would have been a poor peasant girl, likely illiterate. What she knew of Scripture, she likely memorized at home or heard in the synagogue. One scholar notes this about Mary. From all indications, her life would not be extraordinary. She would marry humbly, give birth to numerous poor children, never travel farther than a few miles from home, and one day die like many who had gone before her, a nobody in a nothing town in the middle of nowhere. But God had other plans. We're told in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Don't miss it. The greatest news ever proclaimed in the history of mankind came to the humblest of people and the most humble of places. I mean, I almost want to say you could picture the scene, only none of us could picture the scene. However great your weekend has been, to my knowledge, nobody has been visited by the angel Gabriel. Right, so for us to be able to put ourselves into this scene seems impossible. And yet we try. We try to imagine what it would have been like for this young girl to hear this news from the angel. Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. I mean, you could almost imagine Mary saying, like, who, me? Like, I'm the favored one? Are you sure you have the right address? Mary responds in a way that I suppose that you would expect. Luke chapter 1, verse 29 reads, but she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Mary is troubled. She doesn't know what to do with the news. She's trying to discern what all of this means. She's pondering what is taking place in real time. In real time. Right? There are times when we find ourselves in a situation where God is working, and maybe we think to ourselves, Lord, are you sure? Like, you want me to do what? You've called me to do what? We have questions. We ponder. We consider. We don't have everything figured out, and certainly Mary didn't. Not at this point. Sometimes the greatest call on your life comes unexpectedly. It comes when you didn't ask for the call, and yet the phone rings. And so how do you manage? What do you do? We learn from Mary. We reflect on the plan of God. God birthed an idea from the beginning of time. He knew what he was doing. Secondly, we remember that Mary was chosen by the hand of God. The same is true for us if we know and love the Lord. Mary was chosen by the hand of God. Look at verse 30. Luke chapter 1, verse 30 reads, and the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Don't be afraid, Mary. You'll only be pregnant with the Savior of the world. I wonder if she was thinking, oh, that helps. Thank you. Like, Mary's number is called by the God of the universe. And it's not like she's been training for this. Her parents didn't have her in an after-school program on how to be the mother of the Savior of the world. Right? Instead, the angel came to her and told her, you have found favor. In other words, God has taken notice of you, Mary. God has chosen you, Mary. This is oftentimes how God works in life. He calls our name, our number is drawn, so to speak. And it's not because we are the most gifted or talented. We didn't graduate the top of some spiritual class and gain entrance into an Ivy League spiritual education. The God of the universe oftentimes goes to no place towns and chooses people who, in our eyes, are nobodies. In order that he might do his very best work in and through them for his name's sake. Verse 30 reads, and the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. I love that phrase, you have found favor with God. Oftentimes when we think about finding favor with God, we might think of a friend who went to the Caribbean for Christmas and they posted a picture on Facebook to all their friends who live in the north. Right? They found favor. They've been blessed. Sometimes we think of favor from God, meaning that we have been positioned in a unique situation to experience the blessings that this world has to offer. We are hashtag blessed. We have favor from God. But we must remember when the angel tells Mary, you have found favor with God, what that truly means. Now, on one hand, it means that she will be the mother of King Jesus, and that is unspeakably beautiful. I mean, we cannot even fathom of the role that God chose to give Mary. And Mary finding favor with God also will mean that likely, as that baby grows in her womb and she scurries about her small town, people will give her the side eye and either think to themselves or say out loud, "Virgin birth, eh? That's believable." We're told in the gospel accounts that a sword will pierce Mary's soul. She will deal with doubts from others and growing hatred toward Jesus as he grows up. And can you even imagine what it would be like raising a son who never sins? I mean, it's one thing for teenagers to think that he or she is perfect. It's another thing to have a teenager who is actually perfect. Mary did. She knew what that was like. She knew what it would be like, or she did know what it was like when Jesus grew and started his public ministry at about 30 years old, when other people, namely his siblings and even Mary herself, wondered if he had somehow gone mad. And can you imagine what it would have been like for Mary, the mother of Jesus, to watch as her son was brutally murdered? "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Sometimes the greatest call in life comes unexpectedly. It comes without you asking for it. When it does, reflect on the plan of God. Remember that you were chosen by the hand of God. It's not an accident that God has you where he does. And number three, rest in the presence and power of God. Rest in the presence and power of God. Verse 34 reads, "And Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?'" Which is a great question to ask if you're pregnant and you're a virgin. So Mary asked the question. "And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is in the sixth month with her who was called barren.'" Verse 37, "For nothing is impossible with God." When Mary received unexpected news, God reminded Mary of his presence and his power. His presence and his power. God is with you, Mary. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. You will give birth to the Savior of the world, to Jesus. In her questioning, God reminds Mary of his presence and of his power. And is that any different than what God does today? How many times in life, when we are scared or we are frightened or afraid, does God remind us that he is with us and his power goes before us? I mean, you've experienced this, haven't you? I mean, how many times in life have we experienced something that is even tragic in our lives? And looking back, we would think to ourselves, there's no way I would ever be able to navigate the situation that I have navigated over the last year or over the last decade or over the last 5 decades. And yet, God in his goodness and his grace is present with us and provides power. I mean, who would have thought that somehow in God's kindness, he would give you the strength to grieve a deep loss? Who would have thunk that you would have been able to navigate these years as a caregiver full time? I mean, could you have imagined that you would have been able to move forward with the diagnosis that you were given years ago? And you've seen God's kindness extended to you over the years. I mean, if you were to rewind the story of your life and know that you were going to experience chronic pain for years, and yet God has been with you. It hasn't been easy, but God has been with you, and he's given you strength. No matter what happens to us in life, no matter what season we navigate through, God is present with us, and with him, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Sometimes I read stories like this. I read verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. And I think about the story of Mary and the virgin birth. And I go, yeah. I mean, that was spectacular. It was awesome. It was also 2,000 years ago. And it seems quite distant. And there are times when God in his kindness reminds us that nothing is impossible with him. Even today. A number in our church family know Tom Doyle. Tom Doyle is the founder of Uncharted Ministries. We have supported Tom and his work to the Middle East and Israel for years and years and years now. And he has done a good work. This has been an incredibly difficult year for Tom. Some of you know that earlier in the year, Tom was diagnosed with an advanced form of cancer, and his prognosis was not good. He has been receiving treatment over this year, and he's been inviting and asking prayer partners and people who support him in the ministry to come alongside him and pray literally for a miracle, because that's what he needed. Wednesday of this week, just a few days ago, Tom sent out this text to his supporters. He said, "Beloved friends, Joanne and I made our 19th trip to MDA today. Tomorrow, 6:45 a.m., a CT scan and specialized blood work. We're praying and believing in faith that in the mighty healing power of Jesus. We're praying and asking him to do a miracle and that he will reveal the cancer is gone. God has been stretching our faith and has used your prayers. Together, we have already seen so many miracles, and now we are praying for one more, that we will hear Ned, no evidence of disease. Jesus has all the power to heal, and oftentimes he responds to our faith. He healed the Roman centurion's servant, the 10 lepers, the bleeding woman, the 2 blind men, and on, each time saying your faith has made you well. And so will you join us and pray and believe God for this miracle? Pray that God will do it again, forever grateful, Tom and Joanne." Something tells me when he wrote these words, he was clinging to verse 37. For nothing will be impossible with God. Now, all of our stories are different. God works in different ways for his name's sake and for his glory. And there are times when God does something that cannot be explained. Tom sent this text on Friday afternoon. And this is what he said. It's a hallelujah miracle day. Jesus did it all. We're at MDA and just met with our oncologist. And Ned is officially in the house. Yeah. No evidence of disease. We got on our faces and thanked Jesus. We believed in our hearts that this is what we were going to hear, but it still stunned us, and we are awestruck by the power and the love of our Father God. I love those stories. I love the reminders in life that nothing will be impossible with God. I know this story might not be your story, but there are times when God works in ways that leaves us blown away. Sometimes the greatest calls in your life come when you do not ask for it. And so... when that call comes, what do you do? You reflect on the plan of God. You remember that you were chosen by the hand of God, and you rest in the power and the presence of God. Fourth, you respond in humility to God. Verse 38, and Mary said, "Behold, I am your servant," or "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And every time I read this, I am amazed at the humility and posture of Mary. Like, she hears this news. I can't even imagine that. And she replies by saying, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." Right? There isn't this sense where Mary is going, "Hey, I didn't ask for this. I wanted to live a quiet life, Lord. I didn't sign up for this one." There's no sense of, "This is my life. I want to do what I want to do." No. Mary says, "God, I am your servant, and I belong to you." Right? And again, this is significant. There was a time when Mary could be killed for this pregnancy. She will have the most confusing child rearing in human history. She will watch her son rejected and vilified and called satanic by people who hate him. And she will stand at the foot of the cross and watch her son die. And her response to the Lord essentially is, "Here I am, Lord. I am yours." Mary was steady in her commitment to God. At least here, there doesn't seem to be pushback. Oh, sure, there were questions, but her posture was one of a servant. "Lord, I am your servant." I wonder, when God's a call on your life takes an unexpected turn, when His story for you doesn't align with your story for you, I wonder how we respond. Mary's reply demonstrates humility and faithfulness to God and to His word. "Let it be according to your will." I wonder, Christ's point, have you humbled yourself to the purpose and plan that God has for you? Do we as a people have a humble heart before the Lord that essentially says to Him, "Lord, whatever you want. Like, you have the blank sheet of my story, God. It's yours. Let it be according to your word." Before she birthed the King of Kings, Mary's steady heart, her unshakable faith, and the outpouring of praise was birthed by her belief in the promises of God. Mary knew the God who called her by name. She knew that God was faithful to His promises and to His people. She knew that God was batting 1,000. She may have been young, but her faith in the character of God was wise beyond her years. Sometimes the greatest call on your life comes when you least expect it. When it does, reflect on the plan of God. Remember that you were chosen by the hand of God. Rest in the power and presence of God. Respond in humility to God and respond in praise to God. Did you notice how Mary responded to the Lord? Mary responds to the birth announcement in worship. I mean, is there any other way to respond? And what oftentimes is referred to is the Magnificat. In Luke chapter 1, verse 46, Scripture tells us, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever.'" I mean, do you ever wonder how in the world Mary could respond in such a way? How she could respond in worship and praise when she gets this unexpected news? How is it that Mary is able to trust in the hand of the Lord? How can she have so much confidence? Well, there is a clue that the text gives us that oftentimes we look over when we read this song. It's right in front of us, but oftentimes we don't see it. You see, every single line of this song from Mary is an allusion to a passage in the Old Testament. Mary is thinking back to words that have already been spoken, that have been ingrained into her heart. Certainly, Mary, even though she was a young girl, had anchored herself in the Old Testament scriptures on God and His Word. She had heard the word perhaps spoken in her house or at the temple, and she kept those words close to her heart. This is going to be a little bit like drinking from a fire hydrant, but I want to show you how this song of Mary relates back to passages in the Old Testament scripture. You will notice in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and 47, it says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." If you look back to the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord." Isaiah 61:10, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in God." Luke 1:48, "For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed." Genesis 30, verse 13, "Happy am I, for women have called me happy." Psalm 138, verse 6, "For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly." Luke 1:49, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Psalm 111, verse 9, "He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name." Verse 50 of Luke chapter 1, "And mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." Exodus 20, verse 6, "God shows steadfast love to thousands of those who love him and keep his commandments." Psalm 103, 17, "But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him." On and on it goes. Every line from Luke chapter 1, Mary's song, is an allusion or is a thought back to the Old Testament scriptures. How is it possible when Mary hears this news that she can respond in praise the way that she did? It is because Mary lived in a deep Torah-abiding community. She knew the words of God. She heard the words of the Lord. She poured over the words of the Lord. She clung to the words of the Lord. And when she needed those words the most, when she needed to be reminded of the character of God and the faithfulness of God and the promise-keeping nature of God, she had something to draw from. Her fear, although justified, seemingly doesn't last. The same settled spirit would carry her all of her life, and she would need it in the days ahead. Mary's praise was birthed by God's promise. The promise of a coming king was revealed to Mary. People had waited for hundreds and hundreds of years for a Savior to come. And now, through Mary, we see Jesus, the Savior of the world, being birthed into creation. When we look upon the great act of Jesus, birthing himself willingly, gladly for you and me, the only way to respond is in praise. For the people of God, this should be natural for us, but certainly it isn't always. I wonder this morning if there aren't people here who this story is unfamiliar to you. Maybe you've heard it read. Maybe you went to a church service as a kid. You know some of the details. A pastor or two has shared them with you over the last 10, 20, 30 years of your life. But I wonder, has there ever been a time when you've heard the words and received the words? Scripture teaches us that God created a good and beautiful world and that sin entered into the world because of the choices of his humanity, Adam and Eve. They decided that they wanted to live life on their own terms. They decided that they essentially wanted to be God. And God is just, and so he can't simply overlook sin. He doesn't sweep it under the rug or ignore it or shrug his shoulders and go, hey, we're all broken. God must deal with it. He is just. But God is also merciful and he is gracious. And so he sent Jesus, fully God and fully man, to live the life that you and I could never live and die the death that we deserve. The wrath from the Father that belonged on us was placed on Jesus. Jesus died and was buried and rose again 3 days later. And God, because of the risen Jesus, offers life to you and to me by faith. And so I wonder, this Christmas, do you know him? You know, oftentimes, the most significant news, the most impactful news, the most life-changing news happens when we least expect it. And when it does, I wonder as a people what it would look like if we could trust in the plan of God, see the hand of God, take comfort in the presence and power of God, humbly respond to the purpose of God, and respond in praise to God. I want us to do that this morning. I want us to respond in praise to God. But first, I want us to pray. So would you pray with me? Father God, thank you so much for your living and active word. Thank you that you still use it to form and shape us. God, if there are people here this morning or if there are folks watching online at home who do not have a relationship with Jesus, I pray by the power of your Spirit that you would open their eyes to the beauty of the gospel, the good news that Jesus has come, that he lived a perfect life, that he died a sinner's death, that he was buried, and he rose again. God, for those of us who know you and love you, I pray that you would continue to stir a faith in our hearts. Remind us of your goodness, of your sovereignty. God, remind us of your presence and your power this morning. Lord, give us humble hearts as we respond in praise. God, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us first. We pray these things in Jesus' name and by your Spirit. Amen.